We recognize that there's a great spatial variability in soil. Here you see on with a computer tomography on the centimeter millimeter level, there's a great spatial variability. If we zoom further in, we recognize that there are wide open pore spaces with large pores, small pores, distribution of microorganisms here shown by these yellow dots are sometimes clustering somewhere where the other areas that are practically devoid of microorganisms. So that's got to have some implications for the nutrient forms in the soil. Sure enough, is there a way to dim that a little bit? Because there are more of these things coming. I don't know. That would be great if we just can try. This is a microaggregate. It's a 50 by 50 micrometer view. Nitrogen quantified by nanosims. At the University of Washington in St. Louis. And you see these very heterogeneous spots of nitrogen every now and again in this microaggregate, these almost fibrous distribution along probably cracks. So there's a lot of variability on a nanometer scale. And not all the nutrients and the carbon are co-located, even for nitrogen and sulfur, as shown here. So you have here, for instance, a carbon concentration here, and it's not co-located for nitrogen. So that's the same view, carbon and nitrogen. The area that was high in carbon around here is practically devoid of nitrogen, whereas there's some nitrogen where there was no carbon. Also, sulfur and nitrogen don't seem to be co-located in this example. Somewhere they are, but then there are areas that are there's high nitrogen and no sulfur, and then there are areas of greater sulfur content, like here, where there is almost no nitrogen. So it's very interesting phenomena on a very fine spatial scale that the contents of nutrients and carbon differ. We have these great technologies like nanosims and SEM and TM technologies that give us the elemental distribution. A step forward, and many of the speakers this morning have used this technique already, is NEXUP, so Zane's technology, to not only look at where the nutrients and the carbon is, but also in what form it is there. So we get information about the elemental as well as the molecular characteristics. And this is a technology that builds on the response of elements at decay, or at the edge of an element, K or L edge, that is what we are usually using. And this is a typical spectrum at the nitrogen K edge, where we have different features that we can interpret in terms of molecular characteristics. Now, a step forward in terms of the spatial analysis is then the use of microzanes or NEXUP in combination with so-called STXM, the scanning transmission X-ray microscopy, where in this case with the STXM, where we measure the transmitted X-rays and get these density maps. And then we, in this case, with 50 nanometers spatial resolution, we can scan an entire microaggregate at different energy levels and stack those maps on top of each other to get not only an elemental but also chemical molecular information. Other technologies use the fluorescence X-rays attempt to do the same thing. Interesting, especially for the STXM, is that you get for the entire map the molecular speciation, whereas with fluorescence, due to time constraints, you're only able at this point to do that for single spots on your map and not for the entire range that you're looking at. Sample preparation for STXM is a hell, that cost us a lot of time and nerves to get to that stage. We punched around with liquid sulfur because we wanted to avoid carbon-based and nitrogen-based material to fix aggregates and section them. In contrast to the fluorescence methods that you have seen before this morning, STXM, the X-rays need to get through. So we actually need to have very thin sections. And here you can see an indication, 300 to 500 nanometer thick, For some elements, it would be great to go down to 100 nanometers, but for other elements, you have to go thicker to see them. So we found 300 nanometers a good compromise. And we are embedding in water and section in a cryomicrotome to about at about minus 55 degrees, and then mount them. I want to make a little bit of pitch for thin sectioning in comparison to analyzing colloids by sprinkling material onto sample holders or droplet application and drying. This is something that I probably want to engage more with the community that is embarking on Stixem adventures. What we need to do to advance our understanding here. My pitch is, and I appreciate any comments, is that we really need to do sectioning. And as painful as it might be, we need to do sectioning, because I'm afraid that if we just put microaggregates or agglomerates or assemblages onto sample holders, we might get artifacts of arbitrarily sticking of organic substances to surfaces of our microassemblages, or that we are able to penetrate the assemblage at its edges because it's very thin here, but in the center we are not able to penetrate it. Also, what might happen is that is inevitably happening, is that at the edges you will be able to probe organic material or nitrogen that is associated with minerals here. When you're moving inside and assuming that you're able to get through your assemblage, you will be probing the material that is on the surface as well as material that is somewhere inside. If you're interested in the spatial association of different compounds in your sample, that is of course a death sentence for you, because you're not able to differentiate the material that is associated with surfaces bound to a certain type of mineral, for instance, to organic nitrogen in this case, in the center of a microaggregate, maybe in a pore space. And I think it is very important to make this step forward, we just need to find better ways of getting at specimen more rapidly. And so when you start sectioning, you still have not an infinite, infinitely small thickness, but you are getting there that you're better able to identify spatial associations without creating artifacts due to sample preparation. So I think that's a very important step forward, and I think a crucial way to interpreting your results. What we've been doing in soil science a lot is trying to get different fractions to resemble pools that we can interpret in some fashion, and I call this maybe, and I don't want to be derogatory, but a pseudo-spatial analysis, where we want to associate nutrients and carbon with a certain fraction, and these are of course not really spatial analysis, because there might be very often a density axis or a size axis. But they should resemble a physical location. So in some ways there are a spatial analysis of the soil. And this is one of these analyses, in this case from a forest oxysol in Kenya. And here are the NEXUF's results, using in this case a total electron yield with a spot size of 50 micrometers, so it's not a spatially explicit analysis that we can interpret associations. But just to ease us in, here the nitrogen spectra of the organomineral fraction that I just showed, the aggregate light fraction, so that's the fraction inside aggregates, and this is the free light fraction, the organic matter outside the aggregates, lighter than 1.8 gram per cubic centimeters. And these are the different spectra, and what seems to be coming out very nicely is that we find this shoulder here of more heterocyclic nitrogen, especially six-ring nitrogen, and the two nitrogen-substituted ring structures, both five rings and six rings, decreasing with when we move from the organomineral fraction to the free light fraction. But in all, I would say the spectra look rather similar between the different fractions. Moving now to the spatially explicit analysis. First, I just want to show you from a different publication, not from our group, that actually the spectra that we've been measuring in these soils look like what other people measure from other soils. So it seems in the absence of a large database of nitrogen nexus, it was quite reassuring that we are not measuring artifacts. Now, moving from an analysis of the total soil or the total fraction to a spatially explicit analysis using scanning transmission X-ray microscopy, here with a 30 nanometer spatial resolution and looking at different energy levels here, energy levels that are more representative of heterocyclic nitrogen, and we see everything that's in white here. And this is pore space out here, this is the aggregate. Everything that's white here is indicative of occurrence of the nitrogen associated with this energy level. We see here some white over here. So we again appreciate that there are differences in occurrence of nitrogen all around, and amide nitrogen at a higher energy level seems to be located in this microaggregate on this side here, somewhat over here, but also heterogeneously distributed throughout this microaggregate. Now a step forward, not just looking at different energy levels, but actually at the entire spectral information. So again, we are able with STXM to get information about the chemistry for all these pixels across this map. So it's not just an elemental distribution, it's really the chemical information, the molecular information for the entire map. And we can perform cluster analysis. From this cluster analysis through singular value decomposition, we get these maps, and it is a bit difficult to see on the screen here. Everything that lights up in this view here as white is well characterized by this spectrum. Everything that lights up white here, you see that's relatively evenly distributed, is well characterized by this. And everything that lights up here is very well characterized by this middle spectrum here. I can tell you from our carbon nexus analysis that this area here is a black carbon particle. And this is not a black carbon-rich soil, that's just any old forest soil that has a very typical black carbon content of about 10 to 20% of total carbon. But we find black carbon particles throughout the soil if you look hard enough and have this high spatial resolution. And consequently, we can interpret this as nitrogen associated with the black carbon particle. And we see, and that makes perfect sense, that we have a high proportion of heterocyclic nitrogen, especially the two nitrogen substituted six and five ring nitrogen. Whereas on this side, and we know from our carbon nexus analysis that this is microbial nitrogen, and also morphologically looks like microbial structures here, and it is dominated very clearly with an amide nitrogen indicative of amino acids or proteins in this area, which makes perfect sense, of course, as well. Now, interesting was that the rest of the microaggregate, well dispersed throughout the entire microaggregate, was this third area, or this third species, nitrogen species, which seemed to be somewhat of a mixture between the two, but with surprisingly a lot of heterocyclic nitrogen of this type, probably a 2N substituted ring structures. So it's definitely not a pure amino acids, it's not just microbial guts or turnover products, but there's a lot of heterocyclic nitrogen something that, of course, is very difficult to pick up with any other technology such as NMR, where some have given up hope to get at some information like that at all. So that was very interesting to see, and that, of course, triggers a lot of different questions now. Where this comes from? Is this microbially digested black carbon material? Are these debris? Is this just a mixture of the two microbial nitrogen and black carbon material, or is it microbial synthesized material? And that's something for future research. Just to look at some black carbon nitrogen fractions to get a bit of a better handle on what does black carbon nitrogen or black nitrogen look like. Here from a soil from Australia that was where the carbon NMR data and C14 analysis were published in by Evelyn Kroll from CSIRO. And we looked at carbon black carbon fractions that were are residues of different acid treatments, here with chromic acid, here with a UV oxidation treatment, and here with a combination of the two. And what we see with the harshest treatment of both a chemical oxidant, chromic acid, and the UV, the residue is very rich in this 6-ring structure and the 2N heterocyclic structure. And we see also a shoulder here popping up that from pyrrolic nitrogen forms. So we start to understand different forms of black carbon, pyrogenic carbon material in soils that helps us interpreting the spatial analysis. Multi-element observations are an important tool, and we have seen much of that this morning as well. Here, the same microaggregate looking at the calcium distribution. You see here the black carbon particle is again lighting up in white, which means it's a high concentration of calcium, as well the microbial structures light up white, which means that they are rich in calcium. And now we are very interested to see what the chemical speciation of that is. So we're going with a greater resolution because of time constraints. It is hard to do a map of that size that is about 80 by 60 micrometer in a high spatial resolution. You can maybe achieve 500 nanometer. This map would already take 5 hours. A smaller map would take, in a high spatial resolution, would take probably 10 to 15 hours to measure. So there are clear time constraints in obtaining these data. So here we have to choose smaller areas to get the high resolution measurements. Here's the black carbon particle rich in calcium. Here's the microbial matter rich in calcium. And then we look at the spatial arrangement of different calcium forms. These are calcium NEXAFS data. You see here the white area, whatever lights up white is well characterized by this spectrum and so on. The spectra associated with the maps where they are located, the respective calcium forms. This spectrum here, comparing it to reference spectra, look very much like polysaccharide bound calcium ions. That makes a lot of sense that they're here in this microbial structure. But when we see also a structure that is marine scientists have looked at are looking very, very similar to biogenic calcium carbonates in this microbial structure. A lot dampened peak here, broadening, and the creeping up of the side peaks here. In the black carbon here, this area looks very much like a carbonaceous carbonate calcium, whereas the areas of calcium bonded to probably to minerals are indicative or look very much like the adsorbed or free calcium ions without crystalline forms in terms of carbonates. Also, this seems to be a hybrid between the two, the carbonate calcium and has some spectral indications of polysaccharide calcium found in the mixture on surfaces of the black carbon, but heavily mixed with the mineral phases in this specimen. So these are our first steps towards understanding the dynamics on a very fine spatial scale in soil microaggregates. We think that we can safely say that the nutrient distribution on this sub-micrometer scale is as heterogeneous as described previously for carbon. And not only the contents are heterogeneous, but also the forms are heterogeneous, and will give us some very important information, for instance, possibly and hopefully for the interaction of nutrients with mineral surfaces. We were very excited to see that we could spatially discriminate the nitrogen heterocycles from the microbial products or the microbe itself, and we need to look at that a little bit further, what that looks like in other specimen. I dare say, use thin sections when you're looking at this fine spatial scale to be sure that what you see as being spatially associated really is in the soil spatially associated and not an artifact of your sample preparation. Further work, we are interested in learning a bit more from this in future sessions about the nitrogen transformation mechanisms from black carbon, black nitrogen, through these in situ observations by looking at microbial metabolites feeding on black nitrogen and identifying molecular properties of organic matter bonding with minerals. And with that, I thank you for your attention and thank the fundings and agencies and everybody who helped us with these measurements. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Johannes. There's time for only one question.
Johannes, do you have the same problem when you're doing fluorescence with thin sectioning? And also, when you have a thin sectioning, you have possibility that you have a discontinuous pore that goes partway through your thin section, or is it too thin for that, where you have the same effect?
Yeah. No, I think you're right that that is still a problem, that we cannot go infinitely thin, and we always have a problem with that we may be capturing within that 200 nanometers still a pore and adsorbed organic matter or mixed organic matter. We had a bit of advance in understanding the mixing with organic between organic matter and minerals versus the pore situated organic matter by looking at optical densities, where we could look at organic matter, and that came out through the cluster analysis very nicely, that we could interpret optical density. Different species were associated with high optical density, which would indicate mixing with minerals, whereas other species were associated with low optical density. And even though they were on the same spot size, we could sort of look at different properties of that. And there are new statistical procedures so that even with one measurement on one spot size, you can distinguish between different species just by statistical procedures. I think there's some hope that we can make headway on that. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.